Surprise, surprise, Nancy.
We're going to treat these candles like a family with lots of children. There's always a few that want to cause trouble, but it's okay. It's okay. I was one of those ones that always wanted to cause trouble, by the way. Well, welcome to worship this morning at Timber Ridge Christian Church. Here we are. It's week 3 of Advent. We just want to start with a few announcements. First of all, just a community announcement. The Shiloh Methodist Church is having a blood drive tomorrow. It's from 1 to 6. And there are still some open slots between 3 and 5:30. So if you'd like to give blood tomorrow between 3 and 5:30, you can grab this from me afterwards and look for the number to call, or you can talk to Mike Waterworth in the back, and he might be able to get you a number to call to sign up for that. Other stuff going on, I have a magazine for here. We have been talking about Eukaryote Christian Academy, who bought the Old Ayler Middle School in Stevens City, and they are moving in now. And they'll be back, they'll be having classes when they come back from Christmas break, January 2nd, in their new building. Well, they're also, as a community, putting out a new magazine, and I just realized I never even opened it, because I have one at home. But so they've put out a new magazine just about what's going on at the school and stuff like that. So if you'd like to see what's going on at Eukaryote Christian Academy down in Stevens City, grab that afterwards, and you can take a look at that and bring it back and somebody else can read it. Other stuff going on in the life of the church. There's a Bible study tomorrow, but we're not going to meet here at church. We're going to meet at Bonnie Rem's to watch the movie called The Nativity. That'll be at 10 o'clock. The movie's about an hour and 35 minutes. I heard rumors that maybe there's going to be popcorn. I'm not sure. Yeah. But we're going to be over there. Listen, if you've never come to Bible study, you want to see this movie, it's a really great portrayal of the time period just before Gabriel comes to announce the birth of the Messiah to Mary until Jesus goes into Egypt, is taken into Egypt after he's born. So it's just a little portrayal of how that might have went. Again, you know, it's no movie is perfect because no one was there, but it's a pretty good portrayal. So we're going to watch that together. Prayer meeting this week will be here at church from 6:30 to 7:30. Lots to pray for, especially as Christmas comes around and there's still lots of things going on in our church body. Like, for example, LaRue fell and broke her arm yesterday. So I'll talk more about that in a minute, but we've got lots to pray for this week. All right, thanks to for everyone that came out to go caroling last night. We really had a great time. There was like, I think, 16 of us, including Iris, who came out for a little while with us, so that was good. Iris was a joy to everyone that she was around. But, you know, I think the people that we ministered to really enjoyed. I know Betty. You could just see her eyes light up when we showed up on the porch, so I'm sure everybody really enjoyed that, and we were really glad that it wasn't 20 degrees out. So even though it was a little chilly, it was a little chilly. All right, we're collecting toys until the 20th, so 3 more days to bring toys for Tots. You might not see the box over there because Harry's going to take the box to the Raritan to get stuff started, but if you still have toys, don't be afraid to bring them in and just set them over there on the floor, and we'll pick them up and take them over there. All right, next week, no Sunday school. Next week, no Sunday school, but we will be here at 11 for worship. Love to have you here for that. And then we'll have the candlelight service at 7 p.m. Invite a friend. It's a great time to invite friends. We're just going to read through the lessons and carols. So we're going to read through the story of the birth of Jesus and sing some songs in response and have some fellowship afterwards across the street. So please invite a neighbor, a friend. It should be a great time of fellowship. And no choir practice, yes, no choir practice. All right, let me make sure I got all those. All right, so like I said, LaRue fell yesterday around 2:30 and broke her arm. I'm assuming it's her right arm, but I could be wrong. But it's broken bad enough where she's going to have surgery on it, so she'll find out this week from her doctor when that's going to happen. So be praying for LaRue that she won't be overly discouraged by this, she'd be able to get it fixed quickly, and really that it wouldn't affect the surgery she's supposed to have on January 17th for her torn muscle. So just be praying for all of that. We do want to move one person up into the praise category, and that's Patty. Patty Whitaker had a successful surgery to unblock a blocked bowel, and she went home yesterday. So that's a huge praise because it was looking a little more serious than that just last week, but she's home now, and we're just praising the Lord for that answered prayer. Tom has the flu. That's why you don't see Tom in the choir this morning. He's got the flu, spent all night coughing, so be preparing for Tom. Ruby's cousin Maxine, who's I think 1 year younger than Ruby, fell and broke her hip this week, which Ruby did last year. So she's been calling Ruby to get some advice, but it sounds like she already had surgery, but we're not sure if she's home yet. Or she's supposed to move to rehab, but we're not sure if she actually made that move yet. That's all I had. Did I miss anything? Well, in Sunday school today, we did honor Nancy. Nancy has served as the treasurer of the Sunday school for, all I heard was over 50 years. That's all I heard, over 50 years. She has decided to pass the baton off to Barbara Heisler, who's accepted it at the beginning of the year. And so we just honored Nancy with a few gifts and just some words of appreciation. And we just want you to know here this morning too, Nancy, that we do appreciate all that you do, not just as a treasurer, but as a person here, a member of the church. And so we thank you and we honor you. Thank you very much. Thanks. Well, I'm going to ask Barbara to come up and to do our reading. Again, this is the third Advent, the third week of Advent, where we're going to be lighting the candle of joy, or sometimes called the shepherd's candle. You'll see, hopefully you have a copy of the choral response. After the lighting of the candle and the reading, we will respond by singing the first three verses of Light One Candle to Watch for the Messiah.
The third candle of Advent symbolizes joy. As we continue to approach Christmas Day, our joy grows more and more. The third candle takes us back to the joyful anticipation of the shepherds who had journeyed to see Jesus in Bethlehem, even before the wise men. On this third Sunday of Advent, we light the third candle and rejoice like the shepherds. For this reason, the third candle of Advent is called the shepherd's candle, and its color is pink, the liturgical color for joy. So as we light this third candle of Advent, we light it remembering the joy that attended his first coming while joyfully waiting for him to come again.
You can remain seated. Lord is come. He is here. We celebrate his advent today, the third week, the week of joy. Let's stand together as the Lord calls us into his presence for worship from Psalm 134. Hear the Lord's call into his presence where the Lord says, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we do lift our hands to you in praise of your glorious name. As you've called us into your presence to worship, Lord, we lift up our voices to you, to honor you, to praise you, to remind you, Lord, of how much we love you. And so we worship you in spirit and in truth. We worship you for your majesty, for your willingness to send us Jesus, and for your willingness to save us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, grab your hymnal and turn to hymn number 24 as we open our time singing, "O Come, Emmanuel." seated. There is no better reason to rejoice than the promise of Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, take your Bible if you want to follow along with our Old Testament reading this morning. It's from Psalm 148. It's in your pew Bible. It's page 623. If you're in your own Bible, just open it up someplace in the middle. You should be close to Psalms. And Psalm 148 is at the very end of the book of Psalms. So if you find Proverbs, just go a little bit to the left. Psalm 148. I'm going to ask Joan to read it here in a second. And, you know, this follows up that song of rejoicing. It's a psalm of praise, a praise for all that the Lord has done. Joan, if you'd read it for us.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. And He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord.
I love how the psalmist declares in a very specific and enlightening and full way just how praiseworthy the Lord is. So as we go to prayer this morning, let's go with that heart, that we would be a people who would go to the Lord praising Him and then asking Him to continue to bless us so that we would praise Him more. Let's pray together. Father God, as we come into Your presence this morning, we join the psalmist in praising You for creation, for all that You have laid out here on our home, this earth. Lord, we just praise You for the way that it fits together, for the beauty of it, for the reminder in the heavens of Your glory. Lord, we praise You for creation. We praise You for Jesus Christ and Your willingness to send Him so many years ago. As we celebrate this Advent season, Lord, we praise You for His arrival and for what that means for our salvation. We praise You for His faithfulness, His perfection, His obedience, His sacrifice. We praise You for Your exaltation of Him. Lord, we praise You for the church that's founded in His name and for the way that You've protected the church over the years, Lord, bringing more and more into glory and into Your kingdom. We pray for, we praise You for the work that You've let the church do over these centuries, whether it's feeding the hungry or taking care of the poor or spreading to the gospel to nations that have never heard. Lord, we praise You for the church. We praise You for the Word of God that You've put together for us, revealed through Your prophets of old and through the writers of the New Testament, and the way that You've protected that Word so that we could not only know You, but know who we are in You, that we would know who You are to praise and why we should praise You. Lord, we praise You for the Word of God. We praise You for faithful servants, for servants that do so much, Lord, often without recognition, but they're not seeking that recognition. They're just quietly doing the work of the church so that you would be glorified. Lord, we praise you for faithful servants. We praise you for the message of Christmas, for the message of the gospel that says the Messiah is Emmanuel, God with us, come to save us and to bless us. And so, Lord, we praise you this morning, this third week of Advent. And Lord, we ask that you would hear our petitions. There is still much sorrow and trial and tribulation going on in the world around us, whether it's a war in Israel and Gaza and the Ukraine, whether it's poverty in South America or even our inner cities. Lord, whether it's sickness like the flu or broken limbs like a broken arm, Lord, we have much trial going on. And so we lift up Maxine and her broken hip and LaRue and her broken arm, Lord. We just pray that you would be healing in those instances in a way that brings you glory. Lord, we know that you will be using doctors and therapy and medicines to make this happen. We pray that it would be done quickly and efficiently and as pain-free as possible. We especially lift up LaRue and we pray that you would be her constant companion and encourager, Lord, as one thing seems to pile on another for her. Lord, lift her up and give her a strength beyond her own countenance. Lord, we lift up Tom as he has the flu, and we pray that his body would respond and fight that and get rid of it quickly, and he would be returned to health, especially as the holidays approach. And Lord, we don't want to leave our prayer time without praising you for Patty's recovery, for that successful surgery, a real answer to prayer, Lord, a reminder that you hear us and that you answer, and that you answer with blessing. And so, Lord, again, we praise you for hearing, we praise you for acting, we praise you for blessing, we praise you for the message of Christmas. And Lord, we praise you for the Lord's Prayer that you taught your disciples. It's a reminder, Lord, that we are united to something bigger than ourselves, that is the kingdom of God. And so we recite this prayer together, Lord, as you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the Lord loves when we lift our voices in praise to him. Let's remain seated, though, and do that now, singing hymn number 31, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Number 31.
Thank you.
Well, we've come to our offering. I want to remind you that when we bring a tithe to the Lord, we're not to bring our leftovers to the Lord. We're supposed to come first to the Lord and bring His tithe in as a first fruit. I want to read you a little passage here from Mark chapter 12 about the widow's offering. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. But a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make up a penny. And he called his disciples and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. The idea here is that we would give our first fruits to the Lord and then live on the rest. The Lord is worthy of that offering. So I'd ask the men to come and accept our offering in that spirit. Let's stand together for the doxology. Lord, again, we stand before you bringing our first fruits into your presence, Lord, and offering them to you as a sign of our love for you and a sign of your faithfulness to us. Accept them, use them, build your kingdom with them, Lord, and show forth your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Lift your bed, Lord.
Well, again, this is the third week of Advent, and so we're celebrating this idea of joy, that the Lord would send us the Messiah so that we would know true joy. So grab your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 8 shortly. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's page 1018, 1018. In your own Bible, just go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right in the beginning of Luke chapter 2, as we read of the angels coming to announce the birth of the Messiah to Jesus. But I want to start with a little story here. You know, when I was dating Lori, as our relationship grew deeper, that happened pretty quickly, if you know our story, I learned that if I was going to ask her to marry me, she wanted to have a proposal story. I guess that's pretty common nowadays. She wanted some sort of proposal story, something more than he got down on his knee and asked me story. So I thought pretty hard and came up with a couple of ideas. My alternate idea, the one that I didn't use, well, it was a little scarier than the one I did use. See, I was pretty good friends with a police officer in like a bordering township in New Jersey. And my alternate plan was to have this police officer pull her over and then get her out of the car and give her some sobriety test, you know. Make it go on as long as he possibly could, thinking he was going to take her to jail because she really seemed intoxicated. She hardly ever drinks, just so you know. You see, my hope was that then this police officer at the end would say, well, if you don't want me to take you to jail, I can let you go if you just say yes to marrying Mike. And I would come around the corner with the ring and voila, she would have her story and I would have the girl. Maybe a little angry girl at first, but at least I would have the girl, right? Now, if everything went as planned, though, I really was hoping she would move from this fear and trepidation at the arrival of the officer, right, to rejoicing, as she realized that this authority, right, had really come to bring her good news, even from the beginning, even though she didn't know it. In the account of the angels this morning, that's really what we have, as they're announcing the birth of Jesus, right? The shepherds move from fear at the arrival of the angels to rejoicing. When they first see the angel, they are full of fear, which always happens in Scripture when the supernatural meets the natural, right? When the heavenly meets the earthly. But in the end, they end up rejoicing when they find out that the angel is bringing them good news. In fact, great news. It's great news, the message of Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that as we look into this familiar story of the announcement of the birth of Jesus, that we would be invigorated again, Lord, with the greatness of this news. Show us Jesus in a new way. In his name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, well, Luke has just finished, right, telling us how Jesus was born here in chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and all that's going on there. And he kind of ends there in that section with, they laid the baby in the manger. And then he picks up in verse 8, and that's our text this morning. Let's read this incredible story. It says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let me just start with who the shepherds are. Let me clear up any kind of confusion, maybe. Maybe you've heard over the years that the shepherds were looked down on, that they would have been maybe like day laborers are today, right? They were considered unclean in religious things. In Jewish culture, they were actually considered untrustworthy as a witness in court. So that the announcement to the shepherds, and maybe you've heard this, tells us that Christ came to minister to the downtrodden. Now, much of this is true. Shepherds were considered untrustworthy, and they were looked down upon in their culture. But let's not have such a narrow view of this idea of shepherds and the fact that the angels came to them first. Let's not come to the conclusion that it's really about the downtrodden and the marginalized. In the Old Testament, many of the characters raised up in the story of redemption are either acting as shepherds or point to the shepherd motif to describe God's care for his people. Think about that. That just makes perfect sense, doesn't it? We see shepherds in the Old Testament everywhere. Abraham was a shepherd. All of Isaac's family, except maybe Joseph, was a shepherd, right? Even some of the prophets, right? They describe God's care for his people using shepherd motifs. Hosea, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Nahum, Zechariah, they all use that shepherd idea. Amos was actually a shepherd until God called him to be a prophet. The fact that God sends the angels to the shepherds first is more about the role of shepherds in God's plan of redemption than their worthiness or unworthiness to receive the message. Right? Jesus would come to be what? The good shepherd. Right? Everyone is actually unworthy to receive the message. Not just the shepherds, everyone is unworthy to hear the message of Christmas. In announcing the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, God is pointing to this shepherd motif in Scripture, reminding us of his desire, right? His willingness to send us the good shepherd, to care for us, to provide for us, to save us. That's what the shepherds were doing. Well, here's what I want us to see this morning from this passage. Although the message of Christmas includes your need for a Savior, right, which actually points out that you're a sinner, by the way, right? The fact that you need a Savior is a reminder that you're a sinner. But even though that, the announcement of the birth of the Savior must move you from fear to rejoicing, right? It should move you from fear to rejoicing. So now, picture the scene. The shepherds are out. It's dark. It's the middle of the night. Things have quieted down. There's not much noise, right? Seems like a normal night like so many other nights. The sheep are quiet. Doesn't seem like there's any wild animals around. They're ready to maybe, whoever's not on watch is going to go to sleep, when all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears. And not only the angel, but the glory of the Lord. Those are two separate things. Do you see that in the text? The angel appears and the glory of the Lord shone around them. We might say the glory of the Lord enveloped them. Think about that. When it shined around them, it enveloped them. This glory wasn't something that was shining over there by the angel. It was shining all around them. They were surrounded by this light. The Greek word here only appears twice in the New Testament. Once here, and once in Acts 26, when Paul is describing to King Agrippa his encounter with the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, where he says, "O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me." This isn't some like localized flashlight like we were using last night to go Christmas caroling, right? It is supernaturally everywhere. And It's not just illuminating the darkness, right? It is the glory of the Lord. It is the glory of the Lord. Now, glory in the Bible is always related to some sort of weightiness. The words they use for glory in both the Old Testament and the New Testament always relate to some sort of weightiness, something substantial, something that you can not only see, but feel. You see that? It's not just something you can see, but you can feel it, which I believe helps us understand their reaction. They were terrified, right? They were terrified. Other translations say they were terribly frightened. They were greatly afraid. You know what the Greek actually says? They feared a great fear. That's what it says. They feared a great fear. That's because they could feel the weight of God's glory. Sight of the heavenly always frightens fallen humanity. Everywhere in the Bible. But this fear results from more than the sight of an angel. It's from the weight of the glory of God. Now, the theme of glory in the Bible expresses not only God's weightiness, but His righteousness, His holiness, His perfection. Right? It is awe-inspiring and fearful. Have you ever sat on your front porch during a thunderstorm? I know my kids used to do that a lot. You know, you watch the flashes of the lightning, some over there, some down the road. You hear the thunder rumbling, maybe off in the distance a little bit, when all of a sudden, without warning, there's a big flash of light right in the front yard and a deafening crack of thunder. What do you do? Do you stop right that moment and go, gee, I wonder what I should do? That sure was close. No, you run in the house, right? You run into the house. And then maybe after you feel safe, then you think to yourself, wow, that was close. What should I should stay inside, right? Can you understand the fear the shepherds are feeling over the presence of the glory of God, over the weightiness of His holiness? Can you understand that God's holy presence brings fear to all who are unholy? And can you see that's why Christmas is such great news? That's why the message of Christmas is such great news, because it's the message that God is sending His Messiah, right? Jesus Christ the Lord, who is holy, so that you can be holy, so that you can stand in the presence of the Lord in His glory without fear. That's what the angel says to them, right? Do not fear. They were fearing a great fear, and the angel says, do not fear. Now, again, I'm surprised how many Greek words I want to introduce to you this morning, but here the idea in the Greek here is that the angel is telling them to stop doing something that's already taking place. In other words, he sees that they're already afraid, and so he's telling them, stop fearing. You know, it makes me really, again, understand that the glory of God is palpable, right? But just as much as the glory of God is palpable, so is their fear. The angel doesn't have to ask them, what's wrong? Right? He can tell. He can feel their fear. And he knows why. It's because of the glory of God, and it's overwhelming. And so he tells them, he has to tell them, fear not. Which is a command, by the way. Which is a command in the Greek. Fear not. He's telling them, don't do it. Fear not. You don't have to. Now listen, as much as I'd like to think that the angel commanded them not to fear and they were like, oh, okay, I don't believe that's true. I believe it's the message that he gave them after that that really calms them down, right? He says, we're here to bring you good news of great joy. That's what belays their fear. The angel's telling them the message he brings is meant to replace their great fear with great joy. And it's a simple message. Today the Savior is born. Just over there, just in town, the Savior is born, the Christ, the Lord. He is here, and He is for you. Right? For unto you is born this day. Do you see that? Unto you. So don't be afraid. Instead, rejoice. You know, the glory brought fear, but the message changes that fear into joy. When you, and hopefully you do have these feelings sometimes, when you have a sense of your sinfulness, of your unworthiness to stand in the presence of God, can you see that the message we celebrate at Christmas is meant to replace that fear with joy? To replace that trepidation with an expectant hope that Christ is saving you, has saved you, will save you. I want you to deal with your sin because Christ has dealt with it once and for all so that it no longer separates you from God. Are you afraid to come into God's presence because of the weightiness of His glory and His holiness and His perfection? Or can you come knowing the message of Christmas, that your sin has been dealt with, that it's being dealt with, and that Christmas is a reminder that that fear should be replaced with joy? You know, in this account, you know, of the announcement, the overwhelming supernatural weightiness of the event is just on such display. And yet it's such a simple message, isn't it? There's a little baby over here that just was born, and he's going to be the King of Kings. Isn't it great that God not only sends them the message, but He also gives them a way to verify the message is true? They don't have to just sit there wondering, well, when will we know? You know, when will we see? When will we do these things? This makes me think of that, yep, seeing is believing, right? That old adage, seeing is believing, especially when the message is so incredible, so supernatural, so unbelievable, so unbelievably personal. I think the shepherds really did hear that message. This unto you is born this day. The Christmas, this Christmas, I don't want you to forget that this message is for you, right? It's not just a message, some generic message for the world. It's the message for you. God is sending His Son, not simply to be some generic Messiah for the whole world, right? He's sending Him to you as a personal Savior. Think about that this Christmas season. Well, the angel, he doesn't stay alone for long, right? Now this whole host of angels appear, praising God. I just don't think we can fully appreciate that. I wonder how the shepherds describe that. Wouldn't it be interesting in heaven to hear, what did you really see and what was it like? It must have been exciting, sure. Was it loud? You know, was it loud? Was it uplifting? Was it scary at the same time? You know, did they have all of those emotions at once as the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased"? What was it like? Well, I know that both the lyrics and the sound of the singing turned the shepherds' fear into rejoicing, right? Just the lyrics of what they were singing in their voices turned the shepherds' fear into rejoicing. And so they go. They go to see what the angels were talking about. Now be careful here. I don't want you to think that this is some sort of attempt by the shepherds to verify that what the angels said was true. Like somehow they didn't quite believe yet. No, the fact that the angels all appeared and they made the announcement, that was enough to convince them. Look at verse 15 again. Right, it says, when the angels went away and they decided to go into Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, right? They were convinced already it has happened. They didn't have to see it. They knew it was true. They were convinced the Messiah has been born. And so now they go to see in person the King of Kings. When you were getting ready for church this morning, were you thinking, hey, I'm going to go this morning to worship the King of Kings. I'm going to go to church this morning so that I can hear God speak to me. Think about that. I'm going to go to church this morning so I can hear God Almighty speak to me through the Word and through preaching. I'm getting ready for church this morning because I'll have the chance to respond to the Lord through praise and prayer and thanksgiving. a chance to respond to the Lord God Almighty, to be there in person with Him in worship. The shepherds went that first morning to worship, to see the King of Kings and respond to Him. You know, we have that opportunity every Sunday to come into the presence of the Lord and to respond to Him and to hear from Him. And I'm not asking you to come. God is doing that, right? God in His Word is asking you to come. What I'm asking you is, are you excited to come? Are you anticipating meeting the Messiah on Sundays? Are you anticipating meeting the Messiah on Sundays? I hope you are, because He promises to be here, not just at Advent, but every Sunday of every year. The shepherds go expectant to find the Messiah, because it has happened, and they find that it has. They find everything exactly as the angel said it would be. And they share their story. The arrival of the angel, the message that this child is the Savior. They tell of the singing of the host of angels singing praises to God. There's no inkling of fear left in the shepherds, is there? No inkling of fear left in the shepherds, just pure amazement. Unbridled joy, we might say. Now, I'm not sure what that looks like for shepherds, but it sure comes out in the text that they were rejoicing. You know, oh, that the church would leave worship every Sunday with unbridled joy, right? Even as we go back to our everyday lives. Oh, that we would go out of here with unbridled joy, even as we go back to the mundane life that we lead day in and day out. It's not always mundane, I know that. Right? I mean, but the shepherds are just going back to watch the flocks again. But they return glorifying and praising the Lord with great rejoicing for all that they've seen. Oh, that the church would take a lesson from that. And I think that's important, because I don't want us to shortchange Christmas this year, or in fact, shortchange Sunday worship every week. Right? So every Sunday really should be Christmas Sunday. That's the message of Christmas. It's not just for December. A child has been given to bring peace on earth, goodwill towards mankind, to save sinners from the wrath of God. The fear of judgment is now done away with, so that everyone can come and find the Messiah. And when they do, their fear is replaced with joy. Not just in Advent, but forever. Their fear is replaced with joy forever. I want us to grow. I want us to see how wonderful the message of the birth of Jesus is. The angels were certainly excited about it. They knew how wonderful it was. The shepherds, once they heard the message, right, and their fear was turned to joy, they left rejoicing and glorifying God. And you know, for them, Easter hadn't even come yet. It was just the birth of Jesus. How much more joyful should we be when we leave Sunday worship, knowing that Easter has already taken place and we serve a risen Savior. We have this fuller revelation of what Christmas means. We have the eyewitnesses' accounts of what Jesus did. Right? We have Paul's letters describing what it means, what Jesus did for us. We know what the angels meant when they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Peace, real peace, lasting peace, peace safe from the wrath of God. I want you to grow in your willingness to rejoice because the Lord has come. I want you to be willing to rejoice because the Lord has come. You know, when it finally came time to ask Lori to marry me, she had spent some time in Europe the fall after I met her. I did tell her I wouldn't ask her to marry me until she got back in the States. You'll have to ask her what the plan I actually used was. Be ready for a longer story, but it's a good one. Ask her sometime. She'll share it with you. I didn't choose to use the police story, but I'm sure when the moment came, she was surprised. She, you know, I don't think she was afraid, but she was a little shocked when the moment finally came. But that shock quickly led to joy, right? When you think of your need for the Messiah, the need for Christmas, the need for God to send you a Messiah, when you think of what it will mean that one day you will stand at the judgment seat of God at Christ's second advent, are you full of fear and trepidation, or are you full of joy? If there has ever been any fear over judgment in the past, in the present, right now this morning, my prayer is that you would hear the Christmas message, whether it's for the first time or the 50th time, right? I pray that you would hear the Christmas message and you would know that the arrival of the Messiah was meant for you. God sent the Messiah for you to turn your fear into joy so that every Sunday, in fact, I might even say every single day, you are able to celebrate the message of Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise you for the message of Christmas and the reminder that it was given so that our fear would be turned to joy, that our sin would be dealt with, and that we would know the love for you, the love that you have for us, is even better and stronger and more magnificent and amazing than we know. And we pray that you would show us that this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Together and close singing number 39, hymn number 39, Away in the Manger. Again, such a simple scene and yet such a joyous result. Let's stand together singing number 39. If you look up the benediction later, I'm picking a different one this morning, so don't worry about the Ephesians ones. But hear the Lord's benediction. This is from Simeon's prayer of praise as he gets to hold the Messiah for the first time. And so he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And so, Lord, let your servants hear as we see the message of the Advent so clearly, depart in peace also. Amen.